Hi, it's Pete Norstead here, and welcome to another Trade on Sports and Focused on Football Betting podcast. As usual, I'm joined by Jimmy Kempton. How are you doing, Jimmy?
Excellent, thank you, Pete. I'm not sure if we should tell the listeners what we've just been chatting about before we started the recording. Now, I want to shed a little bit of a light onto for the listeners onto Peter's viewing habits on the telly. When he's not watching the football, he's watching programmes like 90 Day Fiancé and MILF Manor. Now, I can guess what 90 Day Fiancé is, but can you talk me through MILF Manor, please?
Well, if I'm bluntly honest, I'm yet to actually start it. But basically what happens, there's a bunch of guys go into a house with these MILFs. But one of the guys, or each one of the guys is related to the MILF.
Right. Okay.
So it could be somebody's auntie, somebody's mum, somebody's, yeah.
And do they end up doing things with the MILF? Or?
Well, I would imagine so, yes.
Is this legal? Also, I think I should do some research for the listeners and maybe post a review.
It's on Discovery Plus, though, so you have to pay for it.
I can imagine. There's lots of videos called MILF Manor that you have to pay for. But anyway, what did you think of the football at the weekend, Peter?
Yes, very good. It was a good game, the Liverpool game. I thought Arsenal just fell short.
Do you think that's almost going to sum up their season? And they got into a really great position and then through old frailties, Mr. Xhaka, let them back in it?
Possibly. But I think it's been a very good... I still don't think you can... You know, they've played very well. The improvement has been massive. But you do wonder, though, if this is a real opportunity, isn't it? Because next year, obviously, Manchester United will have improved, Newcastle have improved. Chelsea can't be as bad as they are, can they? Spurs will no doubt be there, you know.
You look at, you know, Arsenal will undoubtedly, well, clearly be in the Champions League as well. And yes, you know, you don't have them messing around with the Sunday kickoffs so much. But the intensity of the games in the Champions League are far greater than the Europa League, in which Arsenal competed in this year. So I sort of liken this a little bit to Leicester's
year.
Because I think Arsenal, they're a better side than that Leicester side were, but they still only have the same number of what I would call out-and-out first-team players, 13. And you can manage that when you're not in the Champions League. When you are in the Champions League, you can't.
Yeah, so we know what they're like. You know, next year, like I say, we know what they're like in Europe. They're not great in Europe, are they?
No, and it just depends that they may spend a lot of money to strengthen that squad. But history suggests that Mr. Kroenke will not be getting his checkbook out to any great degree.
No. Yesterday, obviously, we had the Champions League last night. The first matches, I was surprised at how easily Manchester City brushed aside Bayern Munich, and I was a little bit disappointed. I spend quite a bit of time in Madeira, so Portugal, so I was a bit disappointed that Benfica lost 2-0 at home to Inter Milan. I really fancied Benfica to possibly get to the final.
Well, Man City were obviously very impressive, and the Inter Milan game is interesting because for the Focused on Football website this weekend, Peter, I've done a preview of Inter Milan against Monza, so that'll be going up over the next couple of days, and some of the information that we're using to have a bet in that game is based on how they've done in this game against Benfica and how they're going to go moving forward. So check that out when it's released.
Right. Let's start then with Saturday lunchtime. A good-looking game, actually. You're looking at Aston Villa, a team that's won 6 of their last 7, coming up against Newcastle, who've won their last 5. So... Right, anyway, it's plus quarter of a goal. Recent head-to-heads, Villa favour Villa. They've won 3. There's been 1 draw, Newcastle not 1. When plus a quarter, Villa's record reads 1-3, drawn 3, lost 4, coming off a good 2-0 victory at home to Forest. Newcastle, when they're minus a quarter, again, good record. 1-4, drawn 1, lost 0, coming off a good 2-1 victory away at Brentford. Plus a quarter of a goal, 308 matches, 92 wins, 84 half wins, 132 losses. So that equates roughly to 134, 132. My rating is suggesting some good value Villa, but Newcastle in such a rich vein of form.
They are, and I think it's interesting that you referenced there the performance in this sort of situation where they're a quarter of a goal favourites in a game, because I think it took the bookmakers a very long time to install Newcastle as quarter goal favourites, to give them any sort of favouritism on the road. And you have to wonder, a lot of those spots, when they were priced at minus quarter of a goal, in reality, were they situations when you look back that they should have been minus half a goal, because they were clearly the better side, but the bookmakers' ratings of them have taken quite a long time to adjust to them. Now, this is clearly a spot where they shouldn't be minus half a goal favourites. And in my mind, there's no way this game should be priced off anything more in favour of Newcastle than scratch. I think there's a bit of value here with Villa, Pete. And I know Newcastle are in such great form away from home. They've won their last three on the road at Brentford, Forest and West Ham. But this is a clear step up in class for them. What I would say, though, at this stage of the season, with both teams up there, I don't think the draw outright, Peter, about 5-2, is the worst bet you'd ever make. I think this will be a tight, entertaining game. I mean, Villa are a transformed unit under Unai Emery, aren't they?
Yes.
I mean, 11-2-4 since he took over. Incredible.
Yes. This form. I would say about Newcastle, where you're going back though, before, I think the bookmakers have, even when Newcastle were not at their best, have always overlooked them away from home.
Yes, that you're often, over the last few years, you've been able to get sort of good prices on them. But I think now we're almost seeing an overreaction in some of the lines that we see. The thing with Newcastle as well, you never really see them whacking teams, do you?
No.
I mean, just looking now, I mean, considering where they are in the league table, they're doing really well. They've still only got a plus 27 goal difference. I mean, look at Man City 48, Arsenal 43. You know, they've done well, but they've never really gone on and really, truly hammered teams, really. So, yeah, a lean to Villa for me, mate.
Next up, we've got Chelsea Brighton. Again, this is a game off scratch. Again, possibly surprising. Recent head-to-head, Chelsea 1-3. There's been two draws. Brighton have 1-0. When off scratch, Chelsea's record's poor. 1-0, draw 0, loss 4. But these are against teams that you'd probably, think are a little bit better than Brighton. Come off a 1-0 defeat away at Wolves. Brighton, when they're off scratch, good record away from home. 1-5, drawn 3, lost 2. Come off a 2-1 defeat away at Spurs. Chelsea not scored now in 3. Scratch, 2-3-6, 78 home, 76 push, 82 away. My rating suggesting, not surprisingly, good value Chelsea, but you wouldn't touch that.
No. What I would say is, this is obviously the exact same line in which Brighton travelled to Tottenham last week. And, obviously this should have been the Graham Potter derby, but alas, he is no more. And Spurs were scratched last week in this spot. And at the same time, this line opened Chelsea minus a quarter. So simultaneously, before last weekend, we almost had the bookmakers, we did have the bookmakers telling us that Chelsea were a better side than Spurs, but they're 14 points behind them. So arguably, if that line was about right last week, you could possibly make the case that Brighton should be quite decent favourites off this scratch line, and they're not. I'm just checking now, and I think Chelsea are 1.91 for this game. The thing is, though, Chelsea have only won 6 of 15 at home, and they were humiliated 4-1 at the Amex earlier this season. And yes, they've had a managerial change. It is Frank Lampard's sort of first home game back in charge. But in some ways, Pete, it's hard to ignore that 4-1 result for Brighton at the beginning of the season, because, by and large, it's going to be the same players taking the field. So I think this is a really tough game for Chelsea. And unlike the Spurs game last week, where I really quite fancied Spurs off scratch, there's no way I'm touching Chelsea with a barge pole, mate.
No. Next up, vital game, Everton against Fulham. Recent essays, Everton have 1-1. There's been no draws. Fulham are 1-1. Minus half goal here. When a minus half a goal, Everton's record reads 1-3, drawn 2, lost 5, come off a 2-0 defeat away at Man United. Fulham, when they're plus half a goal, 1-2 drawn, 1-2 come from 1-0 defeat at home to West Ham. Fulham now, they've lost their last four. Everything seems to be falling apart from them. Minus a half goal, 277 matches, 130 home, 147 away. My rating suggesting good value, Fulham, but again, you just would not touch that. And in fact, I fancy Everton to win this.
Me too, and I'm going to take them, Pete. And interestingly, I've just checked with Pinnacle, and Pinnacle are showing that Everton are a minus quarter of a goal favourites for this game rather than minus a half. And I really like that. I mean, you can back Everton at 11-10 for this game, but given their sort of lacklustre nature, would I be more comfortable taking them minus a quarter? Possibly. And I dug around into those stats that I kind of alluded to in the last podcast when I was raving on about how Mitrovic is such an important pivotal figure for the Fulham team. And we all know that. It's blatantly obvious when we watch them play. But in terms of the statistics, how does that bear out? Well, when he starts in the Premier League for Fulham, they average 1.60 points per game, 1.6. Without him, they're only averaging 0.78 points per game. They are twice the side, statistically, when Mitrovic is in the side, and he ain't going to play until the end of the season now. And I think this is quite a strange game, really, Pete. When you look down at the bottom of the table, if Everton win this game, this could have a massive impact on their season and on their future in terms of moving to the new ground and all of that jazz and still being in the Premier League. But imagine if they played Fulham 6 weeks ago when Mitrovic was playing.
Yeah.
The look that teams need to play certain types of opposition at the right time to enable them to win the game, it's quite freaky, really, because a few weeks ago, I would have been back in Fulham minus a quarter away at Everton, and now we've got a completely different line against Everton, but I'm still favouring them. I really like Everton here, Pete. I'm going to take them. I'm going to take them outright at 11-10.
Southampton Palace next. Recent head-to-heads, Southampton 1-3. There's been two draws. Palace have 1-2. It's off scratch. When off scratch, Southampton's record reads 1-2, drawn 2, lost 6, come off a 4-1 defeat at home to Man City. Palace, when they're off scratch away, good record. 1-5, drawn 3, lost 2, come off a very good 5-1 victory away at Leeds. Southampton not 1-5 now. It's looking ominous for them. Scratch, as before, 2-3-6, 78 home, 76 push, 82 away. My rating suggested no value in the line, but it's interesting. Roy Hodgson, obviously, you know, he's won his opening two games. Very interesting. I don't know whether you saw that programme about that academy at Crystal Palace. And Wilfred Zaha said, just because a player makes it, you know, in the academy, doesn't necessarily mean that they will play for Crystal Palace. And he says, because they might not be a Crystal Palace type player. And interestingly, you know, during the programme, it showed you players that were very good. And they just said, and, you know, saying he's not going to be a Crystal Palace player. So they moved him along, you know, like to Sheffield United or somewhere else, you know, players went. And obviously, Roy Hodgson is a Crystal Palace manager.
Where can you get this? Where was this documentary?
Channel 4. It's good. There's about six to eight programs. It's very good. It's incredible. It's an eye opener to me.
Right, I'll have to try and catch an eye. That sounds very interesting. And it's interesting that you say that Southampton, it's looking ominous for them. And I agree, Pete, that the recent results and run of form isn't great. After they sort of picked up momentarily under Ruben Sellers. But if they win this game, which is a very winnable game for them, there's the potential that come the end of the weekend, they'll only be 1 point away from safety. Mm. I mean, 10 points is the gap between these two sides. And Southampton, I'm sure, will pinpoint this game, summon up a huge amount of energy. And bottom six sides win 37% of games at home to bottom half finishing teams, which equates to a sort of true price of 2.67 for the home win. And you can back Southampton around the 2-1 mark on the exchanges. What I'm interested to see here is, where do Palace go from here after two great wins under Roy Hodgson? That 5-1 win at Leeds, is that a mark of Hodgson's magic, or is it just a culmination of factors and Leeds blowing up in front of the nation, as they have done on more than one occasion? They concede a lot of goals when it goes wrong, Leeds. I want to back Southampton here, Pete, because I do think that the margin between the two sides isn't that great. But given their recent form and the fact that Palace are cock-a-hoop at the minute, I think I'm just going to have to leave the game. I kind of see a lot of similarities in some ways between this game and the West Ham Fulham game last week, where everybody will be wanting to sort of, you know, back a Fulham team that are flying high. But it means far more for the opposition. So, yeah, I'm going to have to leave this one, mate.
Spurs, Bournemouth next. Spurs have been dominant in this fixture. They've won all of the last five at the stadium. -1.25 goals, the handicap. When -1.25 goals, Spurs record's good. 1-8, drawn 2, lost 0. 4 of the 8 were by 2 or more goals, coming off a 2-1 victory at home to Brighton. Bournemouth, when they're +1.25, 1-1, drawn 1, lost 3, and 1 of the 3 defeats were by 2 or more goals, coming off a vital 1-0 victory, and very well-earned 1-0 victory away at Leicester. -1.25 goals, 86 home, 39 completely covered, 21 half loss, 26 losses. So that works out 39 to 36. So nothing really in it. Small value Spurs. Bournemouth, they've won 3 of their last 5. You know, this, they'll see this as a free hit, I would say.
Yeah, and they hang around in games, don't they? That's what we've seen all season long. Even when they're getting beat, if you've got a ticket in your pocket with Bournemouth plus over a full goal, they've normally given you a run for money. And yes, they've got a -25 goal difference away from home, but I think -13 of those were at Liverpool and Man City. So there's no sort of shame there. Now, we always refer to Spurs as being an unreliable side. You know, the old famous phrase, oh, it's a bit Spursy, this. But this is the spot where Spurs have been incredibly reliable over the years. At home to newly promoted teams, they've gone 14-2-1. They've already beaten Fulham and Notts Forest in this spot this season. Now, just going 14-2-1 doesn't mean -1.25 you should dive in, because obviously you've got to win the game by margin. Interestingly, 12 of those wins, so approximately 70% of all of the games in this spot, have seen them leading at half-time. Now, I've done a preview for focusedonfootball.co.uk for this game. It'll be going up over the next day or so. It's centering around, will Spurs start the game well? If Spurs start the game well, then there's a great chance of them landing that half-time, full-time bet, which you can get at 5-4 with Cole and Ladbrokes. But recent stats in Bournemouth's games, there's only been 4 first-half goals, 4 total first-half goals in Bournemouth's last 6 away games. So that Bournemouth keep it tight under Gary O'Neill early doors. So check out the preview for me. I think this game's a little bit too close for me to call here, but if it was Spurs -1, I'd be happy taking Tottenham. But as we know, Bournemouth do loiter.
Wolves, Brentford next. Brentford won this game last season. The game's off scratch. When Wolves are off scratch, they've won 1, drawn 1, lost 3, come off a 1-0 victory over Chelsea, much needed. Brentford, when they're off scratch away, 1-0, drawn 3, lost 3, come for 2-1 defeat at home to Newcastle. Brentford, 2 points from their last 4. A little bit like Fulham, Brentford. They got into a reasonable position, but it all seems to be sort of, you know, falling apart, as you probably expect, to be honest, at this time of season. Off scratch, 2-3-6, 78 home, 76 push, 82 away. No value in the line.
If this was Wolves against Brighton, what do you think the price would be?
I think Brighton would be favourites, wouldn't they?
How much by? Half a goal?
Possibly, yes, the way it's going, yeah.
Yeah, Brighton are only 3 points ahead of Brentford. So, and Liverpool only 1 point ahead of Brentford. So, what would Liverpool be? I think they were -3/4, weren't they, the other week?
Yes, I think they were.
So, something's wrong here. And I don't know if we should really be looking to support Brentford in this spot, but it's the downturn, like you say, Peter, that really sort of, you know, puts you off betting them. And you kind of wonder, they've slipped down to 9th now in the league table. They've got 8 games to go. are a lot of those players and the manager, yes, they can talk the talk, but do they really believe they can re-kickstart the season, get above Liverpool, get above Brighton and Villa to get a European spot? I genuinely don't think they do, Pete. So I think it's going to be a tight, low-scoring game, a bit of a lean towards the unders. But in reality, this is a game I want to keep well away from because Wolves will eye this one up. They're 4 points clear of the drop zone now. If they win this one, they could theoretically be 7 points, you know, away from the relegation zone come the end of the weekend. It's a big game for Wolves, this.
City, Leicester next. Manchester City have had the better of it. They've won five. There's been no draws. Leicester won twice. That's, you know, not bad, really. Man City went -2.25 goals. 1-6 drawn, 2 lost, 2. Two of the six were by 3 or more goals. Come up with 4 and victory away at Southampton. Leicester, they have never been +2.25 goals away over the last 7 seasons. And they're coming for 1-0 defeat at home to Bournemouth. Man City, they've won their last 5. -2.25 goals, 29 home, 12 times they covered, 7 half losses, 10 losses. So basically, you're looking at 12 home, 13 and a half away. Small value Leicester, my rating suggesting I wouldn't, not for me. I think, though, that it, you know, you could possibly see Leicester losing by 2 goals.
Well, a small value here, Leicester. I think that value's got a lot smaller after the result last night.
Yes,
by Munich, because your hope would be that that game would finish sort of close, and then Manchester City would have one eye on that return leg in Munich next week, and they would start to sort of rest players and do that. The irony is here, I doubt they'll rest players for that Munich game, but they'll probably pick a lot stronger side for this game now because of that result. And when the sides have met in recent seasons, there's been 27 total goals at the Etihad over the last 5 seasons. And one of those games included a 1-0 victory for Man City. So we've seen 9, 7, 4, and 6 in the other games. I genuinely think, and I know I've got the... Well, early signs suggest I've got my views on the Roy Hodgson reappointment very wrong. But I think the decision to sack Brendan Rodgers will come back and haunt Leicester here. I mean, I genuinely don't know what they expected by sacking him. I don't know who they thought could come in and galvanise that set of players to get better results. I genuinely think Leicester could get steamrolled in this game without even Man City getting out of second gear, Pete. I fear for Leicester in this game and for the rest of the season.
West Ham, Arsenal next. Could this be the end for well, you know,
David
for
Moyes?
Arsenal? Oh, no, for Arsenal. Yeah. Could this? Recent head-to-head, West Ham 1-1. There's been 3 draws. Arsenal 1-3. The handicap's +1. Mind you, I'm probably being a little bit negative there towards Arsenal, but let's just have a look at the stats. West Ham went there +1, 1-2, drawn 1, lost 6. So they lost 6 of 9. 4 of the 6 were by 2 or more goals, coming for 1-0 victory away at Fulham. Arsenal went there -1, 1-5, drawn 2, lost 3. Only 1 of the 5 were by 2 or more goals, coming for 2-0 draw away at Liverpool. Arsenal undefeated in 8 and they're in good form. +1, 177, 59 home, 49 push, 69 away. So again, the lean is to the home side. My rating suggesting good value West Ham. It wouldn't surprise me if they get a draw here. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if Arsenal dropped 2 points. West Ham are going to be fighting. Arsenal are going to have to be at their best, I think. I think they're going to have to be at their best to cover this handicap anyway.
I fully agree with you, Pete. And I was thinking about this earlier when I looked at the league table and I thought, well, they've you know, drawn away at Liverpool in a bit of a disappointing result in a way for them in the end, given the fact they were 2-0 up. And I was thinking, where would they least like to go next? And I thought, obviously, Man City, you wouldn't want to go to the Etihad. And you probably, because of the rivalry, you wouldn't want to go to Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. You wouldn't want a local derby after that game. But you know what, Pete? I reckon after that, the London Stadium is probably up there as rivaling the third not place you want to go to, because we've seen over the seasons for the big games, the West Ham fans really get behind them, and especially these London derbies.
Yeah.
I mean, when the sides met earlier this season, the Gunners won 3-1, but they've failed to keep a clean sheet in any of the last 4 trips to this ground. Now, in their sort of defence, or, you know, you know, castigating West Ham, the Hammers have only scored 27 goals this season in 29 games. And there's a big lean here for me to West Ham plus one. But in reality, I struggle to see this Arsenal team, the way they play, going through a game without scoring a goal at the moment, because I think they create too many chances. But if you want to back West Ham, I think you need to think that they're going to score a goal. And I'm not overly convinced that they will, Pete. I mean, for me, this is West Ham or pass, but I think it's going to have to be pass. So I think this is going to be a really entertaining game, though. And I think those West Ham faithful, it's going to be a fever pitch atmosphere this Sunday afternoon.
Forest, Manchester United, plus 3/4 of a goal next. When Forest, plus 3/4, they've lost that only game, but they only lost by one goal. They're coming off a 2-0 defeat away at Villa. United, when they're minus 3/4, 1-6 drawn, 2-2, 3 of the 6 will by 2 or more goals, coming off a 2-0 victory at home to Everton. United have kept a clean sheet in 5 of their last 7, plus a 3/4 of a goal. The stats here, 134, 62 home, 54 half losses, 68 losses. So that equates to 62.95. So the away side really favoured on that handicap. No value in the line, but I you know, Manchester United are gonna be wanting to win this game. They're going to be wanting to be in that top four. It's a tough race, that, and they're not going to want to drop points. I haven't seen them win this.
Well, they are wanting to be in the top four, but I'll tell you what, Pete, Nottingham Forest don't want to be in the bottom three. Neither. No. They are a tough proposition on home soil. We've seen it all season. They've been very solid in front of their own fans. They've gone 5-6-4. And Man United have won just one of 6 games away from home by more than one goal this season. That was that 2-0 win at Leeds, where off the top of my head, I think both goals came relatively late in the game. Every other United win this season away from home has come by just one goal. So, if you're wanting to back them here, are you looking more for the value of them winning the game to nil rather than backing them minus 3/4?
Yeah, that would probably be a better suggestion, wouldn't it?
Yeah, given the fact that we know that Forest have some attacking issues. We know that Man United have really tightened up in recent weeks. I mean, Man United have only scored 44 goals this season. So to ask them to win any game away from home, especially by 2 or more goals for you to fully win your bet, I think is asking a bit of a stretch. A bit of a lean to Man United to win the game to nil, but I certainly wouldn't be backing the minus 3/4.
Leeds, Liverpool next. Recent head-to-heads, Leeds have 1-0. There's been 1 draw. Liverpool are 1-1. When they're plus 3/4, Leeds are 1-0, drawn 3, lost 2. Both matches would buy 2 or more goals, coming off a 5-1 defeat at home to Palace. Liverpool, when they're minus 3/4, 1-4, drawn 3, lost 3. 3 of the 4 victories by 2 or more goals, coming off a 2-0 draw at home to Arsenal. 3 or more goals have been seen in Leeds' last 5 matches. Again, plus 3/4. 134, 62, 54, 68. In other words, 62-95. My rating's suggesting good value Liverpool, and for the second week on the bounce, that is going to be a pick.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know what their away record is this season, Pete?
Well, it's not great. Well, they've only won 3 of 15 or something, isn't it? 3?
Yeah. I'm surprised that you fancy them so much, given those. So it's also the fact that they've only scored 14 times away from home this season. Now, I know Liverpool have done very well in recent meetings of the sides. They've gone 3-1-1. Over 2.5 goals have gone 4-1 because there's been 21 total goals in those 5 matches. But I do think this Liverpool side are not to be trusted away from home. And that's not to say that we should be trusting Leeds plus 3/4, because we saw how they capitulated against, you know, a Crystal Palace side with Jordan Ayew up front. So imagine what a team with Mo Salah can do to them if they fall apart in the 15-minute spell like they did on Sunday. You would expect a reaction from Leeds, and you would expect some form of come down potentially from Liverpool here. I mean, there's no way I'm ever going to back Leeds plus 3/4 of a goal, but it is the way I look in this game. Hey, what did you think to that elbow, Peter?
Nah, nothing.
I thought he should have hit Robertson harder.
Yeah,
I shouldn't be touching.
No, it's ridiculous. I haven't read these sort of. I hope nothing happens about that. It's just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, the amount of abuse that officials get, and I have to hold my hand up at times. I have been known to shout at a linesman, Peter, down at Lincoln. But when players start manhandling officials, even if they're just touching them or brushing up against them, I think it's fair cop for the linesman to stick his elbow out. Next time, it should be sticking a nut on him.
Yes.
Anyway, sorry, that was my very right-wing views of approaching referees and assistants in an aggressive manner, as Mr. Robertson has a history of doing.
Right, so let's have a roundup then. Let's go through. I just want to go through this. You know, for my ratings. My ratings suggesting good value, Villa Newcastle. Possibly you'd go with Villa plus a quarter there. I think they are in some good form. Good value Chelsea scratch against Brighton. I don't think you can go with that. Brighton have been too good really, and Chelsea poor. Everton Fulham, you know, saying good value Fulham, but Fulham are just, you know, like you said, Mitrovic is, if he isn't playing, they don't seem to perform well. Rain suggesting good value West Ham plus one goal at home to Arsenal again. You know that's a reasonable bet. I think you couldn't have that. But the other one is the good value Liverpool away at Leeds. And that is, unfortunately, that's going to be the one I'm going to go with. I just think, you know, I think that's going to be the best one for me. I know there's no rhyme or reason there, but I just feel that Leeds are poor.
Oh, yeah, they're dreadful. I'll agree with you on that, mate. Well, I'm going to go over to the blue side of Merseyside and I'm going to go against your ratings. Mm. Your ratings that probably still got some of George Best's games for Fulham if they go back that far. I'm gonna take Everton at 11-10 to take all 3 points at home to Fulham, and I think it could be a really big. And do you know what, Pete? I think it could be a really big weekend down at the bottom of the table.
Yes, I
some very winnable games for some of those teams at the bottom.
I sort of get the feeling that I think let's have a look at it while we're here. I think Palace, Wolves and West Ham have probably done enough. Bournemouth, that was a great win. I think it could be three from four. Leeds, Forest, Leicester, Southampton.
Well, I'm shocked. I'm just looking at the prices now and I know they have to make up a semi-competitive book. So let's just have a look. So Nottingham Forest are 2 points behind Leeds and are 4-9. Yet Leeds are 7-2 to get relegated, Peter. Mm. How are Leeds just 7-2?
Yeah, that's peculiar.
And I know there's only three out of about eight to go. So they've got to sort of, somebody's got to be above evens and that. But I do think there's a lot of love for Leeds often in the.
Yes. And I mean, a lot that, you know, from what I'm hearing, a lot of people are surprised by Leicester's position, aren't they?
I mean, what a Leicester. I mean, at least they're more realistic. Leicester are 5-6. At least Leicester are odds on to go down in the bookmakers' minds.
Hmm.
And they're 4 points behind Leeds. I've not checked the run-ins to see who plays who and when, but I'm still not convinced Leeds are much better than Leicester. And you're getting four times as much value if you're backing Leeds to go down.
Yes, I think there's quite a few games. It wouldn't surprise me, you know, people are saying it's an exciting finish, but it wouldn't surprise me if it isn't as exciting as we sort of envisage it.
Oh. Well, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, you don't know. No, you don't know. Yeah. Right, we shall be back next week. I think we've only got eight games to look at next weekend with the FA Cup semi-finals, but we shall be back next week. And good luck this weekend, everybody.
Best of luck, everybody.